You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
Good morning, everybody. How are you doing out there? Awesome. Well, it's great to be here. I'm very excited. There's a wealth of emotion going on right now because the Lord has been dealing with me about this word. But if you're here for the first time, welcome. I'm glad that you joined us today. I knew that this time was coming because, as always, a few weeks before Pastor Joshua asked me to speak, God will plant a seed and a topic in my heart. So when I got the topic, I was like, oh, man, it's coming. And so 2 weeks ago, I was getting ready. I was like, this is probably the week. And because I won't say anything to him because I like to just let the Spirit lead. So when Tuesday came around, which is usually the day that he prepares, I didn't hear anything. And then I see him start to prepare. I'm like, good, we're safe. You know, like he's got it this week. And then last week, I just dropped off the kids. I finished dropping off the kids, and I get this text, are you ready to speak? And I'm like, oh, if I had to tell you in emoji, it was the little blue terrified face emoji. I was like, oh, no. But nevertheless, I'm really honored to be able to share this word with you. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, I just thank you for this opportunity and for this time in your presence. And Lord, right now I just surrender myself to you, God. I give you my words. I give you my heart. And I pray that everything that is spoken today would be truth and right from your throne. I also right now declare that every ear and heart would be opened in this place, God, that your word would penetrate our hearts, Father, and that we would truly hear what your Spirit is saying to us this morning, and that transformation would take place in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week we talked about recognizing the fact that our nation needs healing. And the scripture that I just wanted to review it that Pastor Joshua taught from last week was 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Seeing the current state of our nation and everything that's been going on around us, it has pushed me to ask more questions. And I'm sure many of you have had questions as well, but I've been asking more questions, asking God, what brought us to this place? Why are we here? What's been happening in the hearts of Americans? And why is the morale changed? Why is there such division even amongst Christians? Have you ever noticed that Christians can get along real great until you talk about politics and then things can get ugly real fast? But I wanted to start off by talking about the state of the church, because it's important for us to identify what's going on right now for us to be able to move forward and address some things. So September 15th of this year, that was a little bit over a month ago, the Barna Group released a study that was done on the state of the church, and here's what it said. The Christian church has been a cornerstone of American life for centuries, but much has changed in the last 30 years. Americans are attending church less, and more people are experiencing and practicing their faith outside of its four walls. Millennials, in particular, are coming of age at a time of great skepticism and cynicism toward institutions, particularly the church. Add to this the broader secularizing trend in American culture and a growing antagonism toward faith claims, and these have been uncertain times for the U.S. church. Based on a large pool of data collected over the course of this year, Barna conducted an analysis on the state of the church, looking closely at affiliation, attendance, and practice to determine the overall health of Christ's body in America. There's so much more information that I came across when studying for this, but I want to focus on this particular area. The two facts that came from this were, fact number one, there are more churched than unchurched Americans. And fact number two, 75% of American adults identify as Christian. So then I started to ask, if the majority of the nation identifies as a Christian and they are church, which means they are attending church, why are we in this place that we are now? Why is there so much animosity? Why is there so much of hate and anger behind causes? And some of the causes are actually very good causes, but they're not being fueled by love. They're being fueled by anger, and there's just all this tension between people. We have found that people are hurting, deeply hurting, not addressing hurt, but instead taking out frustration behind a phone or behind computers, you know, on your keyboard. And we've grown fonder of confronting people from a distance and internalizing our issues than really facing them. So I know some of us have heard this statement that hurt people hurt other people. And this is what I really want to address today. I truly believe that this is what we've been experiencing. And it's the result is people walking around with masks, people walking around thinking that they're really okay and not being able to identify, hey, there's some stuff I haven't dealt with, you know? So the further and further we get away from a healthy state of mind, we begin to drift into a place of misplaced purpose. So I want us to get a better understanding of ourselves so we can make changes to what we're doing, so we can examine ourselves and say, God, is this me? The first part into making a positive change is to identify the parts in ourselves. And so I want us to be able to understand what we're made of, because God has made us to be like him. But if we don't understand how we were designed, then we can't understand how to address who we are. So the first thing is the soul. The soul. In Genesis 2:7, it states that man was created as a living soul. The soul consists of the mind, which includes the conscious, the will, and the emotions. And in the original Greek text, it's translated as, the word soul is translated as psyche. And in Proverbs, there's a scripture, and many of us have heard it, but it says, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow rivers and springs of life, right? We see here that the heart is central at the part of emotions and the will. Now, I'm setting this up because I want us to really grab a hold of this. I'm going to tie it together. We're beings that were created to feel and emote. And a lot of times we try to run away from emotions. We think, well, emotions are bad. Being emotional is not good. And I understand there's a balance in everything, but God has created us to be this way. We have emotions. We have feelings. It's a part. It's our soul. So what happens when that window opens and something happens that hurts us? There are sometimes some deep cuts, some deep wounds that we go through. And the question I want us to ask today is, have we dealt with those things? Because when we don't deal with them, we bury them. We think we've fixed them. We cover them. And then later on is when we begin to discover over time that they need to be addressed, that it's still there. So there's three things that I think are very important. We go through things that need to be processed, submitted, and settled. We've been seeing a lot of people aren't processing things anymore. And process is what's happened. We've gone through the process. We submit things to God. We say, God, take this from me. And then he settles it within us. But in order for that to happen, we have to get real with ourselves first. And then we have to get real with God. Now, this is another thing. Studies, before I say this, I was grieved at many points when I was studying for this, because I was saying, man, God, if the body of Christ could really get this, we would be so much of a stronger body to be able to make a positive change in this world. But if the body of Christ is suffering and is unhealthy, we are crippled in a sense. It's difficult to make an impact when you yourself cannot have a voice to speak in authority because you've conquered something. So I remember thinking to myself, you know, it was an assumption that people outside of the church dealt with depression more than people on the inside. And so here's this study of religious groups from Orthodox Jews to evangelical Christians reveal no evidence that the frequency of depression varies across religious groups or between those who attend religious services and those who do not. So in a typical congregation of 200 adults, 50 attendees will experience depression at some point, and at least 30 are currently taking antidepressants. And that just grieved me so much. I said, wow. You know, because the numbers speak. And there's so many people in the church that are hurting. And we know this firsthand because we deal with people one-on-one. But to see such a broad number, to see that it's across this nation. And so I'm going to give us a lot of scriptures coming up, but it's really to undergird the change that needs to be made. So 3 John 2. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. If we look at this scripture, it says he wants us to prosper in all respects, right? And healthy. But he brings it back to as your soul prospers. Your soul needs to be in a healthy place for you to truly be successful. Because if we define success by having a successful job, a business, making a certain amount of money, having a certain amount of family or kids or whatever you define that as, if your soul is not prospering, if your soul is not truly healthy, and I don't mean okay, I mean well, healthy, and functioning at 100% and not 80%, then we're truly living out what the Word of God is asking us for. So the next thing is I want us to face the issues. Part of the problem is we've been, part of the problem is we have been trying to fix everything ourselves. We're do-it-yourself fixers, right? Fixer-uppers. We sometimes will invite God like just a little bit. We'll just say, oh man, God, we'll do like a, what is that called? Like a drive-by prayer. And then we'll start to come up with our own plan of how we're going to fix things. And you know what? This is just the way life is. And I'm just going to have to suck it up and keep going. But then that's not bringing solution. I was remembering some times that I've been in the middle of my own process or my own struggle with something, and I immediately would want to run to him, to my husband, and speak to him and just say, you know, pour out my heart before him. And then there was times that God just said, no, you need to talk to me first. And how many times do we do that? There is no man or woman on this earth that can do what God can do for us. There's no one that can speak life like straight from the mouth of God when we have that relationship with him, when we invite him into our situation and say, God, I need you right now. God, this stinks. Put whatever word you want to. This feels terrible. God, I need you to intervene with this. God, take this from me. This hurts me. Why did this happen to me? What did I do wrong? We don't get real sometimes. And it's okay to get real. It's okay to get upset and talk to God like you really would. But if we put God on this place over here, like he's not really involved in our lives, then we're not going to see the benefits and the result of him really being in there. I was speaking with one of our leaders earlier this week, and I was just saying, you know, we have to work hard at training up the next generation to always seek God first with issues, to always say, you know what? When you encounter something, the first person you need to talk to and invite into it is God. Because he's the one that's going to give you strategy. He's the one that's going to give you healing. He's the one that's going to help you through it. It's so many times that we don't do that. We don't invite him. And one of the things that I was remembering, I love Pastor Jo Naughton. You know, she has the Heal for Life ministry. And it's truly transformational for people that get involved with that and attend those meetings. But the thing I love about the way that she ministers is she talks about getting real and facing your hurt. It's amazing. I've been in meetings with her and some of her team members because this is going to be, I think, the second one in the U.S., right, Joycey? Yes. So the second one, we went to the first one in June. And the second one is going to be in December, which we'll talk about that more at the end of the service. But talking back and forth with the different people there, it's just so amazing how many people walk around and have been to one of those. And then when they come out, they say, man, I didn't realize I had all this. I thought I dealt with that. I thought I had processed that. I thought I gave it to God. And then now all of a sudden, like, all these things resurfaced and I realized I didn't. I realized I had layered on it. You know, I put layers on it. But in this day and age, guys, it's so important because social media has created a culture where we project perfection. We project that we're living this blissful life that's, you know, beautiful and wonderful and hashtag blessed, living the blessed life, you know. But then deep down inside, no one's life is perfect. You know, I had to take a break because between fake and between people getting so angry and cussing each other, and I'm like, for real? Like, I need a break from Jesus. I need the Lord right now. But it's just, it's a real thing. We really have to realize this world is not perfect. We need God. We need each other. And it's okay to be real. I want this place to be a place where we are genuine, where we recognize our need and our weaknesses, and we can say it's okay to be imperfect. It's okay that we can depend on God. How are you doing? Not just how is your day going? How are you really doing? Is your soul prospering? Is there anything I can do to lift you up? Is there anything I can do to encourage you in your walk? We have to get outside of ourselves. Okay, so Mark 8:36. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? We can hide behind our successes, but it doesn't change the state of our hearts. I mean, I think about it. At the end of your life, everybody wants to know they lived this purposeful life, that they did well, you know. But at the end of the day, you came here with nothing and you leave here with nothing. When you meet your Creator, do you want to know that your soul was so close, that your soul was at this place that you constantly were able to pull on the Spirit of God in your life? That's what I want, you know, and it's why I didn't always want it that way. And it wasn't because I didn't want it. It's just, I wasn't aware. Like, there's so much more to life than getting through it. There's so much more to life than conquering this issue over the next issue and making it through for your family, whatever it looks like. There's so much that God wants us, that God has for us. So I want to share a story with you guys. When I was a teenager, I met this girl, and her and I became very close quickly. I really, really, I was so impressed with her genuine love, her purity. She was one of the kindest people I've ever met. And when I looked at her, she embodied a lot of characteristics of Jesus. I mean, very unique. And I remember thinking to myself, wow, I was just in awe of all of these qualities within her. Well, shortly after that, something very emotionally traumatic happened to her. And from that moment, I began to see a complete change in her. And I remember, you know, seeing her outlook on life change, her perspective on people, you know, and she started to withdraw. She started to kind of close up. And, you know, after that, she poured herself into her career and then having fun when she wasn't doing her career. And I remember just watching her throughout, and seeing where she came from and saying, man, I desire to see that person peek through again, the person that I first met that was so amazing. And so, you know, years went by and we still keep in touch. I still pray for her. And she's got a family now, a beautiful family, and she's got a successful career. But my point to this story is there's like the good version of you, and then there's like the best version of you. And sometimes we don't realize that we've allowed stuff to pile up till we're not our best version. And I think to myself, I constantly ask, like, God, please help me to be the best version of myself for my kids, for my husband, for the people around me, for my parents. You know, there's so much at stake, and things are so much bigger than our problems. Things are so much bigger than what we think they are. So It's so important for us to realize there is like the ultimate version of you, and God wants to bring that out of you. And the enemy, of course, is always on his plot to try to detract and make you feel like you're so overwhelmed or like things are so damaged that just the world is an ugly place and where do we go from here? But it's the importance of prayer and the word, because the word is what tells us we're not like people who have no hope. We have a hope in Jesus. Okay, so you can live a life that is not tied down with pain or resentment or rejection or whatever words you want to put in there. So our starting point should be this. Psalm 62:8 says, "Trust him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." That was written by David. Good old David, who we see has struggled so much between being on these highs and then being on these lows. And if you read through all of his writings, the thing that was so awesome that I said, man, that's an admirable trait. Thanks. It is a testimony to what happens when a man pours his heart out before the Lord. I mean, when he was going through it, he was being real with God. God, you've abandoned me. You've forsaken me. My enemies are out to kill me. And then when he was on those highs, God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, who is like the Lord Almighty, you know? And I think, man, that's such a great example for us to be able to pour our hearts out before the Lord. That when we're on the mountain, we can say, man, God, you're the most amazing God ever. That when we're in the valley, we can say, God, what's going on? God, help me with this. We have to get real. We can't be superficial Christians. We can't be Christians that are too holy to recognize there's a problem. So he poured out his pain and disappointment to the Lord, and it helped him to be able to rise and thank God for what he was delivered from. I don't have time to read you this whole chapter, but please mark it, because I think this woman, she was at a women's conference, this pastor, she said, please read. She had gone through breast cancer, a bunch of stuff, drama with the church or whatever. And then she said, at the end of all of that, God gave me 2 Samuel 22. It's a very long chapter, but it's so good. And it was David's song of deliverance. And he basically, you could hear the freedom and the victory in his in that chapter, in what he was saying to God, where he was delivered from all of these things in his life and being delivered from the hand of the enemy. And so I just wanted to give you that, because that'll really encourage your spirit. Okay, so when something is done to us as a child, or a traumatic emotional event, and guys, it could be anything from the loss of a loved one, the loss of a friend, to being abused, to somebody saying something hurtful to you as a child, you never amount to anything, or nobody loves you, whatever it looks like, whatever that thing was that really hurts you, a betrayal, you know, somebody falling ill that you loved very much. These things, they don't go away without us addressing them. And so the reason God put this on my heart so badly, because if what this is saying, these numbers and these statistics are true, we have some work to do. We've got to get ourselves healthy. We've got to be in a good place, because if we're going to receive the harvest of what's coming, I read something else that said after 9/11, I forget what the percentage, it was a large something like 55-60% of people flocked to the church. And after a few months, they stopped. And then I asked myself, what happened? Were the people, was the church ready to receive these people? But that's what I'm saying. We got to deal with ourselves first so we can be in a healthy place to help others. Okay. So I remember going to Heal for Life in June, and we're driving up. And I'm going to have an honest moment here. I'm sitting there with my husband. I'm like, man, I really don't want to go to this. I'd rather be with my kids. I was like, I've dealt with my things at my own pace. I put them in a room. I've locked the door. and I do not want to go back in there. And I feel like somebody's telling me, go in there, we're going to sort through some things, and I don't want that. And I realized, you know, after experiencing the whole thing, it's messy to deal with that stuff. It's messy. It hurts sometimes to go back and retrace and say, oh, ouch, I remember that. Oh, man. But once you get through that, once you really grab a hold of God's healing, the freedom that you experience afterwards, why would you not? Why would you not? And I just think to myself, God, I don't want to be the person that's up here telling people like, yeah, God is amazing. God can bring you through. And I'm here struggling with it. And let me tell you something. Pastors are people too. I love to say that. Pastors go through things. But guys, we have a responsibility to keep ourselves on our toes and to be healthy. But I don't expect anything less from the people in this room, from you. You know why? Because in your own area, in your workplace, in your school, in your family, wherever that small group, whatever it looks like, your circle of influence, you guys have a voice. And we have a testimony that if they know that you're a Christian, if they know that you're a believer, then they need to see the fruit of the goodness of God in your life. That you live with this joy, with this incredible place that you can get deliverance from and hope. So if we want to make a valid impact on this world, it takes us making sure that our soul prospers and including being effective and fulfilled, you know, because there's, like I said, there's living like this life and then there's living this life. And you can tell the difference between people that have processed their things and they're like, you know, I am blessed. They don't have riches in the natural, but you could tell that they really, their soul is prospering. Their life is prosperous because of the fact that they're in a good place. Okay. So I said all that to bring it to the good news here. Matthew 11:29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. It goes back to us remembering who God is to us. He created us. He designed us. He knows how to fix us. We can't do it on our own. I mean, there's so many scriptures in my head. You know, the one that says there's a way that seems right to a man, but at the end it brings destruction. God's ways, God wants us to really depend on him, because there's ways that we think that we can do things. There's ways that we think that, well, if I just fix myself, if I can just get past beyond this, if I can just, you know, we can't do it on our own. We cannot do it on our own. Okay, so the other scripture is Hebrews 6:19. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. So if we read through that again, what is our hope? Who tore the veil so that we could enter into God's sanctuary? It was Jesus. So he is our anchor. He is our hope for our soul. Jesus is our restorer. So my conclusion is this. God wants to restore our souls today. In reading this scripture I'm about to tell you, we've heard it so many times, but this brought such a fresh perspective for me. So just listen with fresh ears. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. When I read that, I said, wow. He's my shepherd, so I don't need anything because he has everything for me. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He takes me to a place of tranquility. He takes me to a place that's quiet, away from stress, away from noise, and then he brings healing. I want to challenge you today to invite him into your conversation. Invite him into your life, everything. Don't let it be just something that when you come to a breaking point. So many times if we address it at the beginning, we wouldn't have to come to a breaking point. Some of you have been through some difficult things, things you would never talk about, things you never want to revisit again. Some of you have carried something that hurts you for many years, and you've managed your pain, or you've learned how to work around it. And some of you feel like you haven't been carrying anything, but you're just tired. You're like, I'm tired with life. I came to a point one time where I was like, I love what I do. I love bringing hope to people. Why do I not feel the passion behind it? I remember. Why don't I feel excited about doing this? And I realized my soul was tired. There's some of us today that our soul is tired. And God is wanting to minister to you. So many people are walking around Christians, cynical. They don't feel compassion for people out there that are hurting. They'll walk by somebody that's hurting and not say a word. They'll be rude to a waiter. We're supposed to be the light. We have to make a change as a group. We have to be able to face that what we're facing is not something that can be faced on our own. But as a group, if we get it together and individually we give our stuff to God, He can use us. There is a power behind what He's doing in the church. The church, it's time for us to wake up, and it's time for us to surrender everything to Him. God wants to restore our souls. God, right now, we open our hearts. I pray that You would just let Your Spirit remind us of who You are. Remind us of the greatness of Your power and the freedom that You bring. And God, we bring to You our brokenness, our past hurts, our past pains, God. And we lay it on Your altar. We say, God, take this from us. The things that we've buried deep, God, the things that we might not even consciously know, God, I pray that You would bring it to our minds right now. And Lord, we begin today to see things clearer. We begin today to depend on Your Spirit and not on our own strength. Holy Spirit, we invite You to come into our hearts and remove the stuff that doesn't need to be there. Release Your joy in this place. Release Your healing power. We invite You to restore us as You originally designed us, God. To be full of love, to be full of peace, compassion. We thank You for it, God. If any of this spoke to you, I'm just going to ask you to come forward because I want to pray for you.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.